one sat alone beside the highway, begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes...
It's time again for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff.
When Jesus comes, all the tears are dried away.
And here now is Brother Roloff.
And fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
All right, you'll be ready now for the message. Turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 10. It's a short chapter. Many of them are long, but this one is a short one. In 1 Chronicles chapter 10. Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell down slain in Mount Gilboa. Now that's a strange way for God's people to do. Always represented the devil's crowd. Goliath was the champion. David killed him, and the other four brothers were killed. Here we have a picture of the Philistines, a type of the world, had no respect for God or God's people. They fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell down slain in Mount Gilboa. And the Philistines followed hard after Saul. There's your personality of the message tonight. They're after Saul and after his sons. And the Philistines slew Jonathan, Abinadab, and Malchishua, the sons of Saul. Three great big boys. And far as I'm concerned, Jonathan is one of my favorite friends of the Old Testament, because he was such a friend to David. I tell you, Jonathan, a man who sacrificed his life, even his good standing with his dad, in order to be true to God's anointed named David. Now then, get the picture. Three boys are dead. Do you believe that they're to blame? No, sir. I'm going to come to the heart of the trouble of a man, the first king that was ever anointed king. Handsome, wonderful, a man that had tremendous prospects. There's something happened to him. And that same thing is happening in America. That same thing is happening in this church right here tonight. And I'm gonna name it. And it'll kill you. Like a canker in your soul. It'll ruin your life. It'll ruin a little girl's life. It'll ruin an old man's life. It'll ruin a preacher's life. It'll ruin a home. And I'm gonna give you those two things in this chapter. The battle went sore against Saul. And the archers hit him. And he was wounded of the archers. Then said Saul to his armor bearer, "Draw thy sword and thrust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised come and abuse me." You know, Saul still had, in spite of his sins, his weakness, his disobedience, he still had a little honor left. He still said, "Don't let the Philistines get me. They're uncircumcised. They're the devil's crowd. Don't let them kill me. Come here," to his armor bearer. "Take that sword and thrust it through me. Wind up my life. Kill me before they come and find me." But his armor bearer would not, for he was sore afraid So Saul took a sword and fell upon it. And when his armor bearer, get it, when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he fell likewise on the sword and died. There's five that are dead already. What's the problem? There's got to be something. The Israelites have already fled, and they were down dead. Many, I don't know how many, but maybe a tremendous number at Gilboa. They ran from the Philistines. Did you know, when we start running from the enemy, we're going to be killed. Fact is, I think we're dead when we start to run. And may I sweetly say that if Brother Roloff has never run from the enemy, neither have my people. But you see, I'm responsible to you not to run. If I run from the enemy, what could I expect out of my people? But if I stand against the enemy, though the odds have been against us all the way, but thank God I've not stood alone. Thank the Lord for a bunch of golden-hearted people. But tonight, we face some problems inside the camp. And I'm going to tell you what they are in a moment. And they'll kill us just like they did Saul. They'll kill anybody. They'll kill a cause. Let me read on. When all the men of Israel that were in the valley saw that they fled and that Saul and his sons were dead, then they forsook their cities and fled, and the Philistines came and dwelt in them. Now that's what happened here. If we decided to run from the state, you know what they'd do? They'd take over. All we got to do is just to give in and run, at least in a sense, and they'll be glad to take right over. But that day will never come. And it came to pass on the morrow when the Philistines came to strip the slain that they found Saul and his sons fallen in Mount Gilboa. And when they had stripped him, oh, how sad, they took his head and his arm and sent into the land of the Philistines round about to carry tidings unto their idols and to the people. Verse 10, brother, this is some 10:10. And they put his armor in the house of their gods and fastened his head in the temple of Dagon. As you know, Dagon is a dead god, and so is Saul a dead king. And they placed a dead king's head by the side of a dead Dagon, their own god. That's a sad picture. But there's a problem, and I haven't gotten to it, but I will. And they put his armor in the house of their gods, fastened his head in the temple of Dagon. And when all Jabesh Gilead heard all that the Philistines had done to Saul, they arose, all the valiant men, and took away the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons, brought them to Jabesh, and buried their bones under the oak in Jabesh, and fasted 7 days. A little late for the fast, isn't it? If they'd fasted 7 days before this tragedy, it might have been a different story. The king is dead. Let's read the last two verses. So Saul died for his transgression, which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not, and also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it, and inquired not of the Lord. Therefore, he slew him and turned the kingdom unto David. the son of Jesse. Now then, Saul, you're a young man. You're an answer to the desire of the people. We want a king. They said he's handsome. He stands head and shoulders above everybody else. Surely he'd make us a good king. And Samuel put the oil on his head and he came to be king. Off to a running start. First king Israel ever had. Had a tremendous family. But there were two things. Maybe three or four, and some of them are results. But number one, he was hot-headed. And I think cold-hearted. And usually that goes together. You show me a hot head, I'll show you a cold heart. You show me something that's always blowing off steam and getting mad, losing his temper, coming apart like a jointed snake, I'll show you somebody that doesn't have much in the heart section. Show me a man that cannot control his temper, a woman, and I'll show you somebody that won't have power with God. You better listen to me tonight. He'd go berserk, he'd get so mad. And that's the reason little David was called to the court. He said, could you find somebody that could give me some soothing, tranquilizing music? And that proves to me that David sure didn't know anything about rock and roll. That'll drive anybody crazy. And so David would come and play sweetly on the harp. And old Saul would calm down. And I guess his blood pressure would come back down. And he'd become a man again. A high temper. I mean a high temper. Now you listen to me tonight, because the Lord gave me this message to deliver. There must be a need for it. Saul was a man that could not control his temper. And the man that cannot control his temper is a man that'll harbor murder in his heart. And he tried to kill a young man that was soon to be king in his place. And when you come to the place and people say, well, I'll tell you, I just told him off real good. I just told him how the cow ate the cabbage. Well, it might be all right for a cow to eat cabbage, but it's not all right for you to blow your top and brag about it. And when you do, why don't you have enough grace to apologize? So, never did apologize. Oh, he hated little old David. David lived in caves and in mountains, and he hid from him. Number two. And this is the thing that's killing people. There are people in this auditorium, not just one, not two. There's probably 50 people that have this cancer eating on the inside. At least 50 people right now. It's green eyes. That's it. You say, what's that? Jealousy. Just jealousy. Jealousy that'll make you pitch a pity party. Make you feel sorry for yourself. Make you think you're losing out. And he became jealous. He said, nobody feels sorry for me. They came, and of course I realized the women kind of started the problem when they began to say, Saul has killed his thousands. David has killed his tens of thousands. And old Saul saw green. He was, He said, can you imagine that? Here I am, king. And little upstart David goes out, takes a slingshot, and kills a giant, and it comes back. Everybody bragging on him. Jealousy. That's right. I doubt if there's anybody in here that has not been plagued, or maybe doesn't have a little touch of it right now. I mean, when somebody else prospers, some of my schoolmates have said, I don't understand it. He nearly flunked out. He couldn't pass his grades hardly. And here he is, you know, going on a cross, doing good. You ought to rejoice about that. You girls over in the dormitory, it'll kill you. You folks over here in the jubilee, it'll take the jubilee out of the lead. It'll leave you empty. It'll make you little. It'll ruin you as far as friends are concerned. Jealousy. It killed him. He didn't have any friends left. Saul died a lonely man. What other sin did he commit? There was a preacher. His name was Samuel. He said, "Now, Saul, let me give you implicit and explicit instructions." He said, "You must destroy the enemy and you must not take the spoil. We're trusting God, Saul." And he got over there and won the battle and gagged on Agag. Choked on Agag. He spared Agag and spared, I think, some of the registered, if you please, stock. Brought them back. And when Samuel came to Saul, he said, "Saul," maybe not in these exact words, "how goes it?" He said, "Tremendous. We've done what you told us to do." Samuel said, "What are the animals bleating and lowing about? Sound to me like you got some away from home." "Well," he said, "you know how the people are." He said, "They wanted some of the best ones because we may have to make a sacrifice." Samuel said, "It's better to obey than just to sacrifice. Disobedience is as the sin of witchcraft and stubbornness is as idolatry." "Saul, would you fasten your seatbelt and sit down for a moment?" Saul said, "What's the problem?" "Because you have rejected the word of the Lord has rejected you from being king, and you're finished. It's all over." "Brother, let me tell you something. We have safety in only one thing, and that's being true to that book right there. And it's taken us nearly 8 years to convince the judge and everybody else we'll never change. There'll never be man-made rules and regulations. DHR, Department of Human Resource, they'll never have charge of this place out here." "And brother, as long as we stay with this book, and I'm going to say it out loud because God's listening and recording, God's obligated to protect this work. And he's gonna do it. Don't you worry about Brother Roloff and Brother Cameron or Brother anybody else. Brother, this is God's work." And I said to the judge in his office today, when he called for me, I said, "Judge, there's no way to stop this work. This is God's work." This book right here is the secret. Listen, if everybody in this building tonight, all of my people, if you'll get with the King James Version and stay there, it'll straighten out your home problems, your life problems, your personal problems, and God will give victory to this work if we'll stay with this book. So, you got a problem. What's the problem? You don't trust me, do you? You didn't obey me. And so, he said, he was desperate. He got out of touch. He couldn't get an answer. He couldn't talk to the Lord. And his fellowship was broken. Communion gone. And can you see him now? Can you see him now? We thought during this generation the witch hunt was new. Oh no. Look at him. The king disguised himself. Put on a little different clothes. Ashamed of his robe. Didn't wear him. And he slips down in the dark, in the shadows. An old witch said, "Who is it?" "I need some help. Come in." And Saul came in and said, "What do you want?" "Well, I want you to perform the duty of a witch and bring up somebody." The old witch said, "You know, it's against the law. Saul has said, suffer not a witch to live." There's been a law passed to kill us witches. I said, don't be afraid. She said, who do you want brought up? I said, Samuel. Oh, I want the preacher to come. I want the one who put the oil on my head. I've got to have the preacher. I can't stand for myself. I can't get an answer. God won't hear me. Call the preacher. Brother, there'll come a time when all of you are going to need a man of God. Especially when you get crossed up and fouled up and can't pray. You need to go to a church where there's a preacher that'll preach to you. Oh, you talk about a dark night. Now then, the close of the life. Here he is, out on the battlefield. His three lovely sons all were killed. They were searching for Saul. They were shooting for the king. And finally an arrow turned loose and hit him. And the blood began to pour. And Saul said to his armor bearer, I've had it. This is it. This is it. The uncircumcised. Oh, the Philistines. Our arch enemy. They've got me. Oh, will you do me a favor? And the armor bearer said, what? He said, thrust the sword through me, lest those uncircumcised Philistines finish me off. He said, no, sir. The Bible said, touch not mine anointed, do my prophets no harm. I could never kill a king. I couldn't do it. And the king said, I'll commit suicide, and he did. Folks, do you realize what happened to a man when he rejected the word of the Lord? The saint, he killed himself. Did you know that the first king that was ever anointed over Israel committed suicide? You know why he committed suicide? It wasn't because of his jealousy. That's part of it. That's the result. It wasn't because of a high temper. It wasn't because he wanted some of the best sheep. It wasn't just because he spared Agag. It was because he rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord rejected him. And when the Lord rejects you, you're done for. When God turns his back on this church, then we're through. We'll be no more. None of us will amount to anything when God turns his back. Majestic sweetness sits enthroned upon the Savior's brow. His head with radiant glories, his lips with grace o'erflow. His lips with grace o'erflow. No mortal can with him compare among the sons of men. Fair as he than all the fair who filled that heavenly train. He saw me plunged in deep distress and flew to my relief. For me, he bore that old shameful cross and carried all my grief, saying, to him I owe my life, my breath. To him I owe my life, my breath. And all the joys I have, all the joys I have. He makes me triumph over death. Me triumph over death. Save me from the grave. Save me from the grave. And he saved me from the grave. Let's stand together with bowed head. I feel like closing the service by singing to him. There's something mighty sweet about the Lord. There's something mighty sweet about the Lord. Really doesn't matter.
It really doesn't matter.
What do people say?
What people say.
There's something mighty sweet. Don't you believe there's something mighty sweet about? There's something mighty sweet about. It really
doesn't matter what the people say. There's something mighty sweet.
We're delighted that you joined us today for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff and the message, Problems of Saul. Now, to receive this message, ask for offer number RO2933. To help us cover shipping and handling, we ask for a gift of $10. We'd like to have today's date and the call letters to this radio station. Here's the address of Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas 78403. And if you would like to use your credit card, it's 1-800-772-7507. With Christmas rapidly approaching, our special offer this year is An Old-Fashioned Christmas by the Rebecca Choir and Brother Roloff reading the Christmas story. Plus, While He Thought, a message about Joseph and Mary at the time of Christ's birth. Some of the most familiar songs are O Come Let Us Adore Him, O Come All You Faithful, and many, many more. We accept credit cards by calling 1-800-772-7507 or write us at the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas 78403. Now, to receive the music and the message, include at least $15 for the offer. That's $15. And the offer number is RO335-12. Or again, the offer is An Old-Fashioned Christmas, offer number 335-12, and include a gift of at least $15. Our toll-free number is 1-800-772-7507, and the address is the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas 78403. This is Gene Price, hoping that you all will have a wonderful holiday season, that you could worship and praise Him for His many, many blessings.
The strangers to God, His grace and His love, were gathered by blue Galilee to listen with joy to words from the lips of the stranger who sat by the sea.